Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level, and a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Here's John Whitehead. Hot air balloon manufacturer Ron DiGiovanni knows all about blowing hot air. So when used car insurer Penn Warranty refused to honor a claim for service on Ron's used truck, Ron created an online gripe site to voice his displeasure with the company. He had even more to gripe about after the car insurer sued him for libel. But Ron insisted that he had a First Amendment right to voice his personal opinions. And a New York Supreme Court judge agreed that Ron DiGiovanni's expressions of consumer dissatisfaction constitute protected speech because they reflect his personal opinion. The point of law is our First Amendment. The right to voice your personal opinions, whether it's out loud or online on a gripe site, is one of your first liberties.
This has been a public service announcement from the Rutherford Institute. For a free book about your first liberties, visit www.rutherford.org or call toll-free 888-287-1787.
Listening to Tears of the Gods with Edward on WMFO, Medford.
If you go into the city late at night, it's dangerous. If you go into the city late at night, it's dangerous.
Thank you. Maybe you got all day to pound your meat, okay? Some of us don't.
Who has not lived even a single lifetime, you're a wise man.
Thank you. Tonight, here on the Tears of the Gods Sound Collage, our theme is electronica and dance music. And we began the set you just heard with The Orb and what was originally a kind of, well, way remixed extended version of Minnie Riperton's Loving You, but eventually ended up becoming called A Huge, Ever-Growing, Pulsating Brain That Rules from the Center of the Ultra World. And then Zihan and Kamion, Just You and I, the Fauna Flash remix of that off of their Refreaked album. Then a couple of public service messages from FightGlobalWarming.com and the Rutherford Institute. And then a band called Kimchi, City at Night, from their music album. Orbital, our featured artist, the British electronic duo. That was Choice, the Crucifix Vocal US Hardcore Punk mix of that. And then we finished off the set with Alexandra Nicole and Tin Electric, their very cool cover version of Pink Floyd's Run Like Hell, off of one of two perfect albums, the electronic tribute to Pink Floyd. That was from Volume 1, and Volume 2 is also perfect. Every single song on there really rocks. No filler material whatsoever. And in fact, right now we're hearing another cut off of that album. This is Cracker G and On the Run, a very cool cover of that Pink Floyd song as well. So I'd like to reiterate what I mentioned in the earlier in the show about the views and opinions expressed in these sound collages, not necessarily representing those of WMFO or Tufts University, or sometimes even me, because that's the way I view making a sound collage, is to throw a lot of divergent views and let you, the listener, sort all that out and react to it. But I did want to say a few words about this controversy involving a Google engineer, James Damore. And as I understand it, Google is constantly soliciting opinions of their employees and how to make their culture better, recognizing that a corporate culture is always a work in progress, and there can be issues, and so, you know, they're Google and they want to discuss that. So James posted a document in an internal discussion group called Google's Ideological Echo Chamber. And he tried to point out the ways that he believed Google had gone wrong in making gender representation among its employees a proper corporate priority. And so on August 5th, somebody who was upset with his essay posted it outside of Google onto the web, and then the internet took over criticizing this. And, you know, let me say that evolutionary psychology, which his essay was based on, is a legitimate, cutting-edge scientific endeavor. It's not pseudoscience. Nobody who agrees, I think, with evolutionary theory would dispute at all that, you know, nature has developed specialized mental features to go and deal with our survival problems, to deal with cognition, vision, and yeah, survival and reproduction in general. But what's controversial is looking at differences between men and women. And clearly, though, there are differences. Just, you know, for one thing, men are much more violent, for one. And it's not just the product of the way that men are socialized. Men are more violent by their nature and by their testosterone, I believe. And they certainly commit more particular crimes, like far more pedophilia. But there's some other crimes that, well, you never hear about a man killing a woman to steal her baby. And while that's a rare crime, it does occasionally happen. And it's only women who are driven to do something like that, to steal another woman's baby and, like, kill her in the process of getting that. And it's a very good thing to try to investigate phenomena like that scientifically. And I've been reading what a couple of scientists have written about this Google engineer controversy. And one of them is a woman, Deborah So. She's got a PhD in sexual neuroscience from the University of York. And her dissertation used four types of neuroimaging to investigate brain differences, not sexual differences between men and women, but she was going further, looking at differences between people who are, based on sexual orientation. How do the brains of gay men and gay women differ from straight men and straight women? And they do. And also the brains of people with paraphilia, so sexual obsession about things, and people who are hypersexualized. And yes, there are neuroscientifically the differences that you can see, and they're well worth studying. But some people have gotten just so freaked out about what James was talking about, and they've distorted it a lot. But I think if you're a progressive enough person to agree that transsexuals are dealing with a legitimate biological and psychological issue, then you really ought to consider just how the possibility that hormones can and do affect our human thinking. And I've been fascinated by this topic for many years. And there was a passage from a female to male transsexual who was taking the male testosterone, the male sexual hormone. And boy, did she, becoming a he, being realized with that, have a lot of feelings, particularly about being about feeling more violent and feeling sexually attracted. And she was like, now I know what teenage boys are what they were going through. And I think if we're trying to create not only a just society, but one where people can best realize themselves, we shouldn't aim for a kind of workplace equality where we distribute people into different fields and roles on a kind of quota system in order to achieve gender parity. I think it's well worth understanding how people broadly, men and women, think differently, how their brains work, and to try to deal with that in a way of making a more just and equitable and the kind of society where people can realize themselves most effectively. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention is that in our troubled times these days, I think there's a tendency for people to conflate issues and viewpoints. Like, so many people on the web I saw were criticizing the Google engineer James Damore for racism. And his 10-page essay talked nothing about how race affects people. It was not about that at all, but people have jumped on a bandwagon and think that because he must be from the far right, he must be a Trump supporter and a neo-Nazi. And no. Well, I think we'll keep this going. This is another cool cover of a Pink Floyd song, Kismet, the Moore theme. But we're going to start off the next set with a song that David Bowie wrote and dedicated to to Kraftwerk co-founder Florian Schneider. Yes, Kraftwerk, the German godfathers of hip-hop, as well as tremendous influences on so much more. But David Bowie considered Florian Schneider and Kraftwerk to be tremendous artists and an influence on him. And then we're also going to be hearing in a remix of Evangelist's song, La Infant, where I've remixed in excerpts from a Martin Luther King Jr. speech where he describes the attempt of a demented black woman, Izola Curry, who tried to kill him at a book signing in 1958, a decade before he would ultimately be assassinated in 1968. But let me say that I think his speech in here is an outstanding example of American oratory. So, here's our final set. And you know what? I think we're also going to throw in one more. No, this is our... Yes, this is our final set. David Bowie, V2 Schneider. From his Heroes album, a bonus track.
want to thank God once more for allowing me to be here with you. You know, several years ago, I was in New York City autographing the first book that I had written. While sitting there autographing books, a black woman came up. The only question I heard from her was, "Are you Martin Luther King?" And I was looking down writing and I said, "Yes." The next minute I felt something beating on my chest. Before I knew it, I had been stabbed by this demented woman. I was rushed to Harlem Hospital. It was a dark Saturday afternoon. That blade, the tip of the blade, was on the edge of my aorta, the main artery. Once that's punctured, you're drowned in your own blood. That's the end of it. It came out in the New York Times the next morning that if I had merely sneezed, I would have died. Well, about 4 days later, they allowed me, after the operation, after my chest had been opened and the blade had been taken out, to move around in the wheelchair in the hospital. They allowed me to read some of the mail that came in, and from all over the states and the world, kind letters came in. I read a few, but one of them I will never forget. I had received one from the president and the vice president. I've forgotten what those telegrams said. I received a visit and a letter from the governor of New York, but I've forgotten what that letter said. But there was another letter that came from a little girl, a young girl, who was a student at the White Plains High School. And I looked at that letter and I'll never forget it. Said simply, "Dear Dr. King, I am a ninth grade student at the White Plains High School." She said, "While it should not matter, I would like to mention that I'm a white girl. I read in the paper of your misfortune and of your suffering. And I read that if you had sneezed, you would have died. I'm simply writing you to say that I'm so happy that you didn't sneeze."
I am proposing to you today that we incorporate into our programs the elimination of the armed forces of the United States.
It's just never going to be over. They just want an excuse to have a constant war so they can dominate the world.
Dudley Common, everywhere we go, because this is the voice of the people, not George W. Pentagon Bush, not the corporations Cheney, and not all the crooks in Homeland Security. This is the voice of the people.
Thank you for doing your part and thank you for staying out of jail. Now it doesn't matter now. It really doesn't matter what happens now. I left Atlanta this morning, and as we got started on the plane, there were six of us. The pilot said over the public address system, we are sorry for the delay. But we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane. And to be sure that all of the bags were checked. And to be sure that nothing would be wrong on the plane, we had to check out everything carefully. And we've had the plane protected and guarded all night. And then I got into Memphis. And some began to say the threats, or talk about the threats that were out. Or what would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
You've been listening to the Tears of the Gods sound collage only here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Educational Community Radio. Yes, we are all three of those. Our theme this evening has been electronica and dance. Began the last set with a tribute song by David Bowie to one of his musical heroes, Florian Schneider of Kraftwerk. That track was called V2 Schneider, a bonus track from David Bowie's Heroes album. And then Vangelis and Martin Luther King Jr., the I'm Glad You Didn't Sneeze Plastic Sushi remix of La Enfant. And the Chemical Brothers followed that with Out of Control, the Sasha remix. And then Scanty Sandwich, thanks to Chuck